This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Cohen. In a few minutes, 25 years later, the guys from Spinal Tap are back at it again with an unplugged, unwigged reunion tour. We get a sneak preview. Get ready to turn those speakers to 11. First, though, major defense companies aren't just sending planes and satellites and armored vehicles to troubled spots around the world. They're also sending people. This use of so-called soft power could mean big business for companies like Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman. August Cole covers the defense industry for The Wall Street Journal. When we spoke earlier, he told me the term soft power was coined by Harvard professor Joseph Nye.
Well, soft power is getting what you want through your powers of attraction. For the military and for the civilian parts of the U.S. government, that has meant turning to companies to provide anthropologists, for example, in Iraq and Afghanistan to advise U.S. forces. It's meant using contracting out to peacekeeper trainers to send to Africa to help professionalize some of the forces over there to take on tasks like Darfur. So when you look at the interest in these types of programs, it's a huge departure from the traditional hardware businesses, but clearly a sign that these companies are looking towards this sort of work well into the future.
And why make this investment now in people as opposed to things?
Well, the policy priorities that we've seen at the end of the Bush administration and the Obama administration now clearly require a level of engagement that the government can't quite match with its own people. Downsizing during the 90s and even during the ramp-up of the last, let's say, 7 or 8 years, hasn't provided yet enough civilians to go forth and essentially act like a more muscular or robust form of the Peace Corps. And that is, in many cases, what you're going to be seeing in places such as West Africa, places like East Africa, companies that are doing, again, work that is not necessarily to do with anything military, but much more about global health or poverty alleviation, democracy promotion.
And how much potential business is there in this soft power for these big defense companies?
I think one of the clearest signals came from the Obama administration's budget. There was a pledge to double foreign aid spending to $50 billion, essentially in the first term. And that is just the kind of funding that would flow to the State Department, to the U.S. Agency for International Development, and is, of course, being eyed by these companies.
How effective is this approach using soft power?
Well, this is a great question, and how it's carried out, of course, will be the key to whether these companies make money, whether the government gets what it wants, and nobody has any sort of problems with carrying out these programs. I think one of the biggest things to keep in mind is how difficult this work can actually be. Finding the right people is a critical component, whether you're doing security work in Iraq or sending folks out to do health care work, say, in South Sudan. This is not always easy to find the most qualified, most skilled people because there's a limited number and a lot of competition for them.
What are the potential dangers of sending people to these areas of the world who may not have official military or defense training?
I would think one of the biggest potential liabilities is that our powers of attraction simply don't work because we haven't come across as sincere or we haven't come across as effective. That's not to say that because you send a contractor, you can't be successful. That's not at all what I mean. Simply put, though, that the delicate aspect of soft power requires a lot of finesse, and it's going to be up to the government and these companies at the same time to make sure they both can pull that off.
The Foreign Service is sending over diplomats. You have these different individual companies sending over people as well. Do you see any difference in terms of the types of civilians that these different parties are sending to places like Afghanistan?
Well, I think the first thing to think about is how quickly can the government send people it wants to some of these hotspots. One of the big challenges of, say, creating a Foreign Service officer and qualifying and training them, it takes quite a long time. A contractor who may have had experience in the military or in economic development can be sent reasonably quickly. So there's a gap, if you will, that has to be filled in the interim here, particularly as the Obama administration tries to engage in more and more places around the world. I think that's something that these companies will be focused on.
Unemployment levels are at a new high. Do you have any sense that the quality of applicants for these jobs will increase with more and more people looking for work?
I would imagine that people who have the kind of skill sets that are directly applicable to this kind of work have probably been doing it for a while and will continue to do so. I think it will be difficult in many cases for people fresh off the street, if you will, if you've left an investment banking job. That said, I think there is going to be a lot of growth in this area, and these companies will be hiring, and that once people get through the kind of maze of clearances and qualifications, if they do have, say, a certain language skill or another scientific or engineering background, there probably will be opportunities out there in this area.
August Cole writes about the defense industry for The Wall Street Journal. Thank you.
Thank you.